1 Corinthians chapter 6. We want you to be educated, people of God, and even those of you who are guests. We want you to leave here not only inspired and not only motivated, but we want you to leave here with a lingering interest in the Word of God. We're not trying to get you hooked on personality. We want you to get hooked on the Word of God, because personalities can't follow you to work when your boss calls you in and doesn't have a good look on his face. Personalities can't follow you when you're sick and the doctors don't know what's going on. Personalities can't follow you into the courtroom. And so we want you to get hooked on the Word of God, because the Word of God has everything in it that pertains to life and godliness. And we want you to get hooked on the person of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 9 and terminate at verse number 11 and see if there's a word from the Lord. The Bible says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Everybody say, "Inherit the kingdom of God." It says, "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God." That's a strong list, isn't it? Say amen if that list looks familiar. Half of y'all didn't say amen. Say amen. Now I'm going to give you a moment to be honest. Say amen if that list looks familiar. Amen. Amen. It should look familiar to everybody. And somebody said, "Yeah, I've seen it on the news." Please. You ain't seen it in the mirror anytime lately? Anyway. "And such were some of you." Oh, praise God. Turn to somebody and say, "Such were some of you." "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." I want to talk about being between am and was. Being between am and was. I know the flyer says stuck between am and was, but the reality is there are different things that we get between am and was. Some people get stuck between am and was and need a little help. Some people struggle between am and was. And then other people settle between am and was. You're in trouble this morning if you're settling between am and was. Okay? And I want to talk about this morning some reasons why people get stuck, some reasons why some people struggle, and some reasons why people settle between am and was. But let's be educated about the text. This is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. It's called the Corinthians because the city where this church was the city of Corinth in the province called Achaia. Everybody say Achaia. Achaia. Corinth was a mess. Corinth was a wicked city. Paul actually writes this letter. Paul, who is the author of this, he writes this letter from a city called Ephesus. So he's in Ephesus writing to the church in Corinth. And this letter he's writing is a response to a letter. So this means Paul, who is the preacher there, who's the preacher, who is the evangelist, who is responsible for why this church even exists. Because at some point Paul went and he preached about Jesus to some folk and they obeyed the gospel. They were saved. and they started telling people, and then other preachers came through and started preaching the gospel, and people got saved, and they started telling people, and before long, what started out as a family in Corinth ended up the church in Corinth. But interestingly enough, they didn't meet in buildings like this one. They met in people's homes. Okay? Church was up close and personal in that time. In other words, it was intimate. It was in people's homes. Well, a person by the name of Chloe wrote Paul a letter and basically snitched on what was going on in the church. Because there was some stuff going on in the church in Corinth that was crazy. There was some crazy stuff going on. And so what Paul does is he writes to this church in response to a letter written to him by one of his converts, one of the people who he baptized and was saved under his preaching and teaching. And everything he writes is based on what he got from this person and this household. Are you with me? The first thing that Paul deals with, and first of all, he goes in hard on the church. He's hard on the church. You think I'm hard. Some of you say, yeah, you just sometimes you preach a little too hard. Paul was hardcore. Matter of fact, he didn't waste a whole lot of time talking flowery things. He went right in. And it almost sounds like he was condemning the church, and he was condemning behavior. He was condemning attitude. He was condemning something called carnality. Everybody say carnality. Carnality is the thing that makes us, the carnality is the thing that makes us closest to primates. The thing that makes us closest to animals. It is an instinctive fleshly nature. It's doing what your flesh wants to do. It's operating not in the spirit, but in the flesh. Following after impulses. Impulses. Impulses is if you feel like it, do it. How many of you who ever heard somebody use the phrase, well, do what you feel? Some of us will get in trouble following that mantra. That is very instinctive. That is very fleshly. That is very carnal. That is animalistic. The world pushes this carnal nature. The world operates on this carnal nature. Music is based on carnality. So much so that music and even terminology and even slang and even jargon points us away from the spirit nature and points to this carnal nature, this impulse nature, and uses a lot of animal allegories to refer to man, to refer to people. When women are accepting being called female dogs, and you have a society that says that really glamorizes women who refer to themselves as female dogs, that's carnal. In other words, you're referring yourself to an animal, to an impulse that is animalistic. Why are y'all looking at me like that? That's carnality. It's based on self. It's based on everything absent of God. As a matter of fact, some of you joined a frat that had as its theme song, why do I feel like that? Why do I chase the cat? Nothing but the dog in me. Ooh. Right? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm trying to get you to understand God didn't make us animals. Animals don't have the image and likeness of God. And whenever we settle for being animalistic and following after our impulses, what we feel, doing what feels good just because it feels good, doing and saying what feels good, and releasing ourselves based upon the absence of the Spirit of God, then we are operating in the flesh, carnally. As a matter of fact, carnal means so much flesh that when Jesus came, he was incarnate. Which meant that he came in flesh but didn't operate based on flesh. Does that make sense? I got to move. So what you have here is you have all of this carnality in the church in Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, one of the first things they started doing that showed their carnality is they were elevating personalities over Jesus. They were elevating personalities over Jesus. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Look what Paul says.
Now I exhort you, brethren.
I exhort you, brethren.
By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That you all agree.
That you all agree.
And that there be no divisions
among
you. That
there be no divisions among you.
But that you be made complete in the same mind.
And
in the same judgment.
In the same judgment. Read.
For I have been informed concerning you.
Now watch this. Remember, I told you he got a letter. He said, I've been informed concerning you. Read.
My brethren, by Chloe's people.
By Chloe's people. By the household of Chloe. Chloe wrote a letter. And Chloe was a very affluent woman in the church. We need you women to know that you can do more than work the kitchen.
Amen.
Oh, God, I shouldn't have even went there. But it's time you women know that you don't have to just sit down and bow down and be a little puppy dog. God gave you more than that. You can do more than that. Oh, don't get me started on this. Paul actually worked with a woman by the name of Phoebe at the end of Romans chapter 16. Phoebe was such a servant that when Phoebe said something, Paul said, told the brethren, listen to what Phoebe says because she's working with me in ministry. Oh, God. So Chloe here is an affluent woman in that church. She writes Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul baptized her and she's telling off on what's going on in the church. What does the Bible say? Read.
That there are quarrels among you.
That there are quarrels among you. Read.
Now I mean this.
Now watch this. Paul going right into it. I'm not going to decorate the truth. I'm not going to put truth in a tutu and make it dance on twinkle toes. This is what I mean, Paul says. He says, I mean that some of you and each of you is saying, I am of what?
Paul.
I'm of Paul.
And I of
Apollos. I'm of Apollos.
And I of Cephas.
I'm of Cephas.
And I of Christ.
I of Christ. Read.
Has Christ been divided?
In other words, wait a minute. You are glorifying personalities. That's carnal. That's fleshly. To get hooked on personalities. That's fleshly. To move Jesus out the way and put personalities first. That's fleshly. And anytime you put anything else and focus on the side dishes and take away the main dish, you can't call that dish by a main dish that's not there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't call it a chicken dinner if all that's there is corn, green beans, and mashed potatoes. You don't get to call it a chicken dinner. And you don't get to call it Christ Church if all that's here is personalities and all you think about and talk about are personalities. At the end of the day, their carnality led them to, watch this, deify man. And you cannot deify man without humanizing God. When you elevate man, you give God a demotion. When you elevate man to God. So that was one thing of their carnality. In chapter 2, they were holding up the wisdom and elevating the wisdom of man. And elevating other men and their wisdom over God. Chapter 2, verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. We're going to move swiftly. Okay. Believe it or not, I'm almost finished. If you start counting 15 minutes from now, read.
And my speech and my preaching was enticing words of man's wisdom.
Watch this. Paul says, look, I'm writing to you. I need you to know that I didn't talk to you trying to show my wisdom. I'm not trying to talk to you. And I wasn't using the things that would make you fascinated with me. Uh-huh. Right? Why, Paul? Read.
But in demonstration of the Spirit.
Demonstration of the Spirit
and power.
Of power. Read. Why?
That your faith should not stand.
I don't want your faith.
That's right.
To rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. They were so fascinated, and they were so factioned and broken and divided by following who they admired and elevating those they admired, and they moved Jesus out the way. And basically Paul said, that's why I'm writing to you, and when I came to you, I did not push myself because I didn't want your faith to be in the wisdom of men, but the power of God, because whatever you elevate is what your faith will be in. And the problem with some of us in our lives, and the reason why our lives have been has been laced with disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, is because we've elevated somebody to a God status, and we put our faith in who we elevate. And when you don't elevate the right person, then the wrong person can't meet the expectations of the elevation, and you're setting yourself up for disappointment every time. You can't elevate a man and say he'll never leave me and or forsake me. He can't keep that promise. So you put the wrong person and elevate the wrong person, then you develop the wrong expectation of the wrong person, and it's a setup for disappointment. Paul said, no. You guys are so carnal that you're sitting in church missing Jesus. You're sitting right in church and missing Jesus. That's like sitting at Walmart and can't find food. How do you sit in Foot Locker and can't find something for your feet? This is the carnality that they had. Now, not only that, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul tells them, you carnal. He says, I can't even talk to you spiritual. Is he talking to the community? He's talking to the church. Chapter 3 of verse number 1, what does the Bible say?
And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men.
Here it is. You should be grown. But I have to put knives and forks and spoons and plates on the table and then put a bottle in the center of the plate. Yeah. Well. He says, I can't talk to you as spiritual. Read.
But as to men of flesh.
Men of flesh, carnal. Read.
As to infants in Christ.
I have to talk to you like infants in Christ, which suggests that they weren't babies. They weren't supposed to be infants in Christ. That's why he said, I have to talk to you like you're an infant. He wouldn't say like you're an infant if there was not an expectation that they should have been past some things. The Corinthian church was so carnal that there are some things that they should have been past that they were still not past. Enough time elapsed for them to get past some things. For them to grow past some things. And we don't sometimes get it in the spiritual. So let me help you in the physical. If you are 35 years old and you keep in your pocket a pacifier, there is a problem. No? Not yet? You don't get what I'm saying? Now watch this. Even socially. If you are 30 years old and you still going back and forth with your sibling, no, you hit me first. I don't care, you hit me first. She hit me first. Did you see what she did? There is a problem. Now watch this. We get it socially. We get it when it comes to human growth and development. But they were like this spiritually. There were some things that they were dealing with and that they were doing that they should have been past already. And Paul says, when I talk to you, I can't even talk to you spiritually because you can't handle it. But I got to talk to you like babes. Like babes. Read. What does the next verse say? We got to move.
I gave you milk to drink.
I gave you milk to drink.
Not solid food.
Not solid food.
For you are not able yet to receive it.
Because you have teeth that won't chew.
Well,
or you don't have teeth at all. This is what Paul is telling the church. Isn't he kind of hard? Paul is being hard on these folk. I hate to be this. I mean, he's sending that letter and somebody would read it. This is from Paul, the apostle. Y'all are carnal. You know, I got to talk to y'all like babies. Some of y'all would have got up and left the congregation. I ain't got to be talked to like that, which would have been a sign of immaturity, which would have proved him right. No, I'm not getting up like that. Can't talk to me like that. Sit your tail down. Now, come on. read the text. Well, watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. A bad preacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah. Look at chapter 4. Here's another issue. They were becoming arrogant based on personalities. Personalities. May it never be said that you feel good about Christ because I'm your preacher. That is bad. May it never be said that you feel special because this is the elder you like, or because Brother Jones, that's my teacher. May it never be said. It's called associative arrogance. I've talked about this before. Associative arrogance. It means that you're not really Jay-Z. You're the hype man that gets up there and you do all of this, and you feel arrogant and you feel puffed up because you are connected to Jay-Z and you call him the king of the world and he's not even the king of anything. So you're arrogant based upon an association with somebody who is not even the somebody who would be worth being arrogant about. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This was the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Read verse number 6. What does the Bible say?
And these things, brethren.
These things, brethren.
I have been a figure transferred to myself and to the Apollos for your sakes. That ye may learn and not to think of men above that which
is
written.
Why are you writing this, Paul? Stop thinking of men above what you ought to think of men.
That's right.
Amen. The Corinthian church were aggrandizing. I'm not saying there was nothing wrong. I'm not talking about appreciation. I'm talking about aggrandizement. I'm talking about making them bigger than God. And watch this. They were doing it in church settings. We do it with people. We do it with people, not just in church settings. We aggrandize. Some of us are really in a fix, acting outside of character because of some way a parent disappointed us. At some point, you got to get that nobody can do you like the Lord. And so stop expecting them to. Walking around disappointed with a chip on your shoulder because somebody you put on Jesus level didn't perform like Jesus. That's what the Corinthian church was doing. He said that you ought not do that. But read the rest of the verse.
That no one of you be puffed up for one against another.
Now, he's not telling them this as a warning. He's telling them this because this is what was happening. He got a letter, and this is what was happening. Now, watch this. Watch how it moves into deeper carnality.
Yes.
Chapter 5, it moves into sexual carnality. Impulsive carnality. Impulsive carnality. You remember I talked about carnality being something where you just operate on impulses? There are no husband-wife relationships with dogs. Now, there's a mother-father relationship, but when dogs get grown, everything is fair game. Because they're impulsively wired like that. They are animals. When you start operating in the flesh based on carnality, your sins will become more and more animalistic. In the Corinthian church, it was so bad. This is the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. There was a man that had a daddy. And apparently the man's mama died, so the daddy married again. And apparently the son had the hots for the mama.
Yeah. So true.
And started messing around with his daddy's stepwife. Daddy's wife, his stepmom. Why y'all looking at me like, whoa, that's like scandal. It is.
Yes, sir.
Worse than scandal. I ain't never seen that on no episode of any reality show. Well, maybe. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I could show it to you better than I could tell you about it. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Read.
It is actually reported that there is immorality
among
you.
Now remember, he's responding to this letter. It is actually reported that there's immorality among you. Read.
An immorality of such a kind as does not exist among
this
the
means
Gentiles.
The Gentile. This was a predominantly Jewish congregation. When he says Gentiles, he's talking about heathen people. He's not using it as in anybody except Jews. He's talking about this is stuff that even the people out there wilding out that don't know God. This is stuff that you won't even hear among them. See, here's the thing. When the devil gets you, if the devil should get you a second time, he'll take you further than you were when God found you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If he can get you the second time, you will be deeper in sin than you were before you met God the first time. He said, this is not even named among the Gentiles. Read.
That someone has his father's wife.
That someone has his father's wife. Now watch this. Here's what's worse about it. The church had become so carnal that it became an environment that allowed this to become socially acceptable. How do you know? Look at what he says.
You have become arrogant.
You have become arrogant.
And have not mourned instead.
This doesn't make you sad.
So that the one
Wait,
who had.
You are okay with this. It doesn't bother you. The church was so carnal in Corinth that they became another entity where it was socially acceptable to do things that was incongruent, that were incongruent with the character of God. Right now, there are no entities left except the church where things are not socially acceptable. Right now, it is socially acceptable for you to sleep with whoever you want to. There is no law that says you can't do it. No law, no legislation, nothing written in the Constitution. It is actually your constitutional right between consenting adults. Watch this. The Corinthian church had gotten so messed up that what was socially acceptable outside the church became okay in the church. Oh, you better hear me today. Now watch this. I'm not here to bash about sin because that's not where I'm going. Because this thing is going to take a weird twist. This was what was going on in the church. And I didn't say the church building. Because the way the church is today, our wounds can go hidden for so long. Because when you see people once a week, and you go about your business, and it's distant, and if you sit on the left side, and I sit on the right side, we may never even cross paths. Then I can be drowning, and you not even know it. So there is a disadvantage that we have today by the commercialism of the church. By the Sunday, come to the church building, go home. That's good because people are not all in your business. Say amen if you don't like people all in your business. Amen. Boy, somebody say amen. It's the only amen you ever said. Say amen if you love Jesus. Well, you know I love Jesus. I ain't got to say amen. Say amen if God is good. Well, I ain't got to say amen if God is good. Say amen if you don't want people in your business. Amen. Cool. And there's some positives. But here's the negative. If people are not in your business to hurt you, they're also not close enough to help you. And so the bond. So what happens right now is suddenly somebody who's not close enough to you to hurt you, you come to for help. But remember, they're not close enough to hurt you, but they're not close enough to help you either. So, but this church met in homes, and this was the activity that was going on in the home, in the church. They were arrogant about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, they got to taking each other to court for non-criminal matters that they could have settled among themselves. How tragic is that? They're going to people who don't believe in God, for people who don't believe in God, to settle a dispute that could easily be settled among people who believe in God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, start with verse number 5. And we're almost to where we're going. I just got one point. I don't have 3 points. This is not the introduction. This is the actual sermon. Be at peace. Verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, read.
I say this to your shame.
I say this to your shame. Now, Paul is hard on this church. They're carnal. They're arrogant. They have jealousy, envy, fighting, sexual immorality. Later in 1 Corinthians 11, he gets on them because communion, by the way, back then, the feast, that was real wine. Did I just see somebody go? Good idea. You'll be drinking prune juice. Let's make sure. And instead of coming together, having this feast, love feast together, and they would also eat together, there were some who were getting drunk. These are Christians. See, this is the kind of preaching that some of us don't like, because some of us have managed to find a comfortable place with just a little bit of enough God and just enough of the world. And we've gotten so comfortable there that we don't even qualify this as good preaching. When you get comfortable at that place, you are not just comfortable, you are carnal. And we should never be comfortable being carnal. Okay? So watch this. He says, verse number 5.
Is it so?
Uh-huh.
That there is not among you one wise man.
You mean to tell me there's not, Paul is saying, you mean to tell me you taking these little cases to court among you that have nothing to do with criminal activity? And I know this wasn't enough, nothing to do with criminal activity, because Paul was for the law. He was for law in Romans 13. We talked about that. But he said, is there not somebody among you that can settle it? Now, I don't want anybody to get this wrong. If somebody come across your head with a pipe, don't call the elders. Call the police. I don't care if he go to this church. I don't care if it's Arthur Carr sitting over there. Looking like Creflo Dollar. But I don't care if it's Arthur Carr. If Arthur Carr loses mind and you in the foyer and you shaking hands and Arthur Carr looks at you and says, how you doing? And you take too long to answer and he pulls out a pipe and goes upside your head. We're not trying to deal with this like this. We call the police. Take Arthur Carr to jail. Why? Because he broke the law. What Paul is talking about are social issues that they could have dealt with among themselves. He says, is there not a man among you that can sit down and reconcile this thing? Read.
Who will be able to decide between his brethren?
Read.
But brother goes to law with brother.
No. You got to say, no, we'll see you in court. You mean to tell me I'll bump into your car and instead of saying, let's work this out, let's exchange insurance, you say, you know, Brother Hamilton, I know you're my brother, but I'll see you in court. I just got this car. Don't worry. I'll see you in court. What? We're supposed to be Christians. And when you take that into court and to say, yes, we're part of the same church and we were parked together, and you stand before somebody who don't even know Jesus, it just doesn't make us look bad. makes Christ look shamed. Read.
And that before unbelievers.
Uh-huh.
Actually, then it is already a defeat for you.
It's a defeat for you. Read.
That you have lawsuits with one another.
Uh-huh.
Why not rather be wrong?
Now, here's the part that we don't like. Why not rather take a hit? See, carnality says, oh, you don't want to mess with me. You don't want no trouble. No trouble with me. I ain't taking it. You do that to me, you got one time. Anybody ever heard a Christian say, yo, she got one time? I'm sorry, I could have talked about faith and Jacob's ladder and Daniel stepped in the lion's den. But that stuff will make you feel good right now. And it's okay, and it'll strengthen your faith. But some of us, faith is not what needs to be strengthened. Character needs to be. And it don't matter how much faith you have if your character is tore up. It is character that will identify you with Christ. The devil believes in God. But it's not enough to change his character. Ooh, Jesus. Read. I got to hurry up.
Why not rather be defrauded?
What? You mean to tell me don't do nothing about it? Christianity is a passive worldview. It is not militant. I don't care how people try to manipulate the scriptures. It is so passive that Jesus says, bless them that curse you. Yeah. What?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, he did.
You let somebody up in this piece come up and curse you up and down. Ooh, some of your faces. Some of y'all look like going into convulsions. It's passive. Paul says, why not just be defrauded? If you have to love your enemies, why not learn to take a hit? Let some things go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Brother Kendrick ran into my car, and I know it was him because his car paint is all on my car. He dented my car. I tell him, hey, man, did you hit my car? No, man, I didn't hit nobody's car, man. I didn't even have a car that Sunday. What? Okay, man. All right, love you. Oh, no, some of us, oh, no, 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 I get Paul said, why don't, on matters like that, take a hit. That's Christianity. Now watch this. I gotta end. Well, then it goes to, I read.
On the contrary,
uh-huh.
You yourselves wrong and defraud.
Uh-huh.
You do this even to your brethren.
You do this. I'm not saying this stuff is easy. I'm saying this is what Paul is telling the church in Corinth because they're supposed to be Christians. They're supposed to be saved. But they're so carnal. Read.
Or do you not know that now the unrighteous...
We're almost done here. He says, do you not know...
That the unrighteous... Will not inherit the kingdom of God.
See, the kingdom of... Everybody say, inherit the kingdom of God. This has to do... Whenever you see the word inherit, it has to do... with sonship. Okay? Go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 15 and 16. We'll start with verse 16. When it says inherit the kingdom of God. Know what? Be educated. The unrighteous shall not inherit. This is not simply talking about the unrighteous ain't going to heaven. It uses the word inherit. Unrighteous people are not associated with being children. An inheritance is something that a father gives or leaves to his children. When he says the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, he's saying that those who are not the children of God will not be left anything by God, because unrighteousness is not a characteristic or a state of being representative of being his child. Romans chapter 8. Hurry up and read that.
The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
We are the children of God. Read.
And if children.
And if children.
They're heirs.
Heirs.
Heirs of God.
There it is. Heirs. Heirs get an inheritance. So let me tell you something. The Queen of England ain't about to call you and say, I left you something. You live in Oak Cliff. You are no relation. So stop praying about it. I sure hope, you know, Bill Gates will leave me something. God can make it happen. Yeah, but it don't go that way. Now, he can, but it won't be an inheritance. What makes it an inheritance is your relationship to whoever's given it to you. So he says what? With children of God, read.
And joint heirs with Christ.
And joint heirs with Christ, read.
If so be.
If so be.
That we suffer with him.
That we suffer with him. In other words, as children, the reason why the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God is because they are not kingdom kids. But look what else he says. We're done. We're just almost done. Read. Neither what?
That we may be.
Now, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because now you're on the time that I was going to get back to the congregation. And now if we get out late, it's your fault. Read.
Do not be deceived.
Be not deceived.
Neither fornicators.
Now watch this. Neither fornicators.
Nor idolaters.
Nor idolaters.
Nor adulterers.
Nor adulterers.
Nor effeminate. Nor homosexuals.
Nor homosexuals.
Nor thieves.
These lifestyles, people who live and operate like this, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Read.
Nor the covetous.
Nor covetous.
Nor drunkards.
Nor drunkards.
Nor revelers.
Let me tell you, they the church was getting drunk. 1 Corinthians 11. Here's the strange twist. He says, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Read.
Nor swindlers.
Will inherit the kingdom of God. Watch what he says.
Such were some of you.
Wait a minute. This is what I need you to follow. Come in close. He just spent 6 chapters and will spend more chapters condemning them for doing those things. But then he says in this verse, such were some of you. Don't miss this. He just said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a morality there. And it's so bad, Gentile heathen people don't even do this. He just said that you're self-centered, you're arrogant. You pick favorites, you're covetous, you're jealous, you're envious, you're strifeful, you quarrel. He says, this is what will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He just accused them of being that, but then turns around and says, such were.
All right.
They're doing it, but he says, such were some of you. He criticizes them for these kinds of behaviors and then turns around, gives the list of lifestyles, and then says, such were. Which means they were doing some of the things in the list. But yet Paul says, that ain't you. Which means it's possible to struggle with things in the list, but that not be who you are. He didn't say such are some of you. He says such were some of you. After saying this is what you're doing. But why is the word there? Is it because they stopped? No, look at what he says in the following part of the verse.
But you were washed.
Such were some of you, but this is what happened. You stopped and you got it right. That's not what it says. No, such were some of you, but you got it all together and you got your act together. That's not what it says. Such were some of you, but you went to a 12-step program. No, that's not what he says. He says such were some of you, but you quit it and you change and you don't like to fornicate anymore. That's not what he says. He says, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified. Now, this is where I'm going. This is the apex of this lesson. As children of God, you and I are not only supposed to believe what God says about himself. We're supposed to believe what God says about us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This means, and this is hope for some of us, the reality is I'm not in an audience and surrounded by people who got fornication beat. Some of you are living together right now and not even married. Some of you fornicate when you get hot and in the mood. Some of us are jealous. Some of us commit adultery. Oh, if we were commanded to tell our story in detail, some of us would lose a whole lot of respect. If the truth were told. So it's not that we got our act together. It's not that we got it down packed. The reason why this is what we were is because God changed our status and how he looks at us, and he didn't change it because we got it together. He changed it because Jesus covers us and he ain't looking at us. He's looking at Jesus. So I may lie right now and struggle with lying, but I am not a liar. And the reason why I am not a liar is because I'm covered, and you may think I'm a liar, but God calls me washed. But Brother Hamilton, I struggle in my flesh. Life will be a struggle between your am and your was. You are supposed to struggle between your am and your was. What you are not supposed to do is settle between your am and your was. Do not build a tabernacle between your, or temple between your am and your was. Tents were used when people were traveling through. Children of Israel in the wilderness had tents, and they would take them up and they would move, and they would sit down and they would stay there a little while, and they would take them up and they would move. When they got where God promised them, they built a temple, which was more permanent. What I'm saying is, when you struggle between your am and your was, don't build a temple there. Make sure it's a tent, which means right now I'm struggling with fornication. But I'm going to pick my tent up, and this is not going to be my struggle 5 years from now. And the reason why it's not is because I believe what God says about me. I am washed. I am sanctified. I am justified. I am not this, that, or the other. I'm nobody's thought. But the problem is, some of us don't buy into what God did for us. Don't buy into what he calls us. Don't buy into what he says we are. So we still operate in our worthiness when God says, that ain't you anymore. Turn to somebody and say, that ain't you. I know what you struggle with. I know it's hard. But that ain't you. That ain't you. I know the thoughts you struggle with, but that ain't you. And you got to buy into that. You got to tell yourself, this is not who I am. And when you fall, and when you falter, and when you stumble, you get up off your back and you dust yourself off and say, this is not who I am. I am washed. I am sanctified. I am justified. And get back on your trail. Take up your tent from that place of transgression and move forward. That ain't you. And if you're not careful, you will put yourself around people who want to identify you with a behavior. When Paul says, in spite of all this carnality, such were some of you. The whole church was struggling. But he did not unchristian them, and they didn't get unsaved because they were struggling. You get to still call yourself washed even when you're struggling with a sin that you're ashamed of. When you settle in a sin, then you are not just simply redeemed, you become reprobate. Which means you're between Egypt and the promised land. And if you do not buy into what God says about you, God says that's already yours. And if you don't buy into it, and you don't trust what God said about you, he says, you don't, why are you doing that? That's not you. You are washed. You're washed. I'm about to tell, when I see Brother D.L., I got something for him. Something needs to bring you back in and say, wait a minute. I'm washed. That's what I am. What I want to pull out is what I was. And some of you have to be careful. Some of us have to be careful that we don't settle between our am and our was. But that we grow. What God does is he gives us a size 12 shoe, pair of shoes. And we're a size 2 now. And he says, take off your size 2. Put on these 12s. And we put on the 12s. But because we're 2, we stumble in the 12. But if we keep growing in these 12s, and we keep eating in these 12s. And we keep being strong and we keep growing and getting tall in these 12. Eventually, what was a struggle becomes a walk. God says, you are washed, size 12. You are sanctified, size 12. You are justified, size 12. But Lord, I'm a 2. I get angry when people do this. When I'm feeling antsy, I want to follow the flesh. I see something, I want it, I pursue it. Lord, you said I'm a 12. You said these 12s are mine, but I'm a 2. He says, get in those 12s and grow in grace. So it is not a surprise when your little 2-year-old puts on his daddy's shoes and he trips and falls. It's what naturally happens when where you are and what daddy gave you are not one and the same. But he calls it what we are even before we fully mature into being that. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful that when God looks at you, isn't it beautiful that the worst of the worst of the worst, that there's somebody And that there's a group of people that used to do that, that used to be that. It means it doesn't matter how deep the sin is. Please listen to me. I don't care how horrendous it is. I don't care if it's even frowned on by the society around us. God says, if you give your life to me, you'll be washed. You'll be sanctified. You'll be justified. And then you grow in grace. Stand to your feet. This was a hard lesson. And some of us, I'm going to tell you the truth, this is difficult to listen to if you're okay the way you are. But this is the come to Jesus moment. And I need to be seen by everybody right now. This is, right now, the come to Jesus moment. The come to Jesus moment. In other words, that's not you. And you stop buying into what God said about you. And that's why you're acting like something else. That's why you've gotten comfortable with behavior that doesn't belong to you. You are washed. And that movie, that classic movie that I enjoy to laugh about called Life. You know that movie Life with Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy. When they finally, after all those years being incarcerated, they finally tell their story to the new warden. They're old men now. And the warden hears their story and it checks out to be true. And the guy that frames them, the warden kills. The warden says to them, you know what? Don't say anything about this. I'm going to give you guys a free man. I'm going to give you your papers in the morning. They go into town, and I think it was Claude. He said, sir, do you want me to do this? And the warden says, look, watch what he says. He says, you don't have to do that anymore. You're free. Claude had gotten so used to doing that for so many years that when he was free from it, he still found himself behaving in ways that he behaved when he wasn't free. I come to tell you, you don't have to walk the low life. God freed you. You're redeemed. You don't have to cuss people out anymore for getting on your last nerve. No, you don't have to do that anymore. You're free. And this was a lesson that will either convict you closer to God or further away. Because when you listen to this, the devil postures you to entertain distraction. Because right now, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is pricking some of us, and we don't like how that feels, so we have to accommodate distraction so that we can't be in the presence of the God who is a consuming fire and be convicted. Because the reality is, some of us love our word. Some of us got traded to another team, but we're still wearing our old jersey. And because we have friends and there are things about that other team we like, we want the benefit of wearing the jersey from the other team, but having all the benefits of being on this team. You cannot do it. No man can serve two masters. Buy into what God says about you. He says you're washed. And if you are not saved, then you're not washed. You're not sanctified. So if you're here this morning and you need and you want to come to Jesus, you say, you know what, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I've been in ways and I know I'm this, that, and the other. God said, God is ready to say that's what you were. He's ready to change your status in heaven. No matter what your record is down here, he'll change your status in heaven. And if you need to come to Jesus, come right now. Maybe you're here and this lesson convicted you. You don't want to fill out a card. You don't want to write details. You still don't want nobody in your business. Well, I'm going to tell you, somebody that's in your business, whether you want him to be or not, and that is God. He was in your business before you knew how to spell business. He was in your business before you knew that the business was yours. He was in your business before you recognized there was a business to be had. He's in your business. Not only was he in your business, but he's in tomorrow's business. He's already waiting in your business tomorrow so that when you get there and and you get in that situation that's your business, that will cause you to lose your ever-loving mind, the Lord can be there and cover you with his grace so that when your business causes you to get to want to give the business, you won't lose your mind, and the peace of God can keep your heart and mind. Let me tell you, he knows. So if you need to come, you need to come willing to change your mind and to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I give it back to you. And if you're here and you're looking for a church home, you want to be part of a church family, a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church family, let me tell you something. We're not perfect, but neither is your family.
That's right.
Right? But here's the thing. We are being made perfect. Such were some of us, but we still struggle between our am and our was, and you will find every now and then that manifests itself. Every now and then you talk to the wrong person, to the right person in the wrong way, and you'll see, you'll get a front row seat to what they used to be. Has anyone ever had to give somebody a front row seat to how you used to be? Whether you say amen or not, some of you have done it, and I've seen you do it because you've done it to me. So I'm waiting for you to come forward and fill out a card. I'm going to give you a front row seat to where I came from. If you need to come, come right now.